Now we're going to talk about boating safety, and we have a couple of gentlemen in the studio to introduce you to. The first one has been with us many, many times in the past, Nick McManus, and Nick is the Flotilla Commander, U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Jack.
I am sure happy that you wore your life vest today, even though in the 32 years we've been here, I don't think we have had a drowning yet. But you never know.
Well, you know, we're sitting right over Town Branch here in this
old
building.
We are indeed.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Better I think be ready.
Better safe than sorry,
that's
as
right.
They say.
Just stay close. Hang on to me.
And also with us is Colonel Pete Evans, U.S. Army retired, and you are the public affairs officer for the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary. Is that correct?
That's correct, Jack. Thank you very much.
It's very nice to have both of you here. This is beginning Saturday, I believe, Nick, National Safe Boating Week.
That's right, Jack. And the whole emphasis there is to get people to start wearing life jackets, both on paddlecraft, on canoes, kayaks, motor vessels, sailboats, and so on. So many of the unfortunate situations that happen on boats or on lakes and rivers and so on happen because folks aren't wearing life jackets.
Right.
And so we call it Ready, Set, Wear It. And that's what we're out here doing, trying to promote safe boating and making sure people are making the right decisions on the water.
And what does the Coast Guard Auxiliary do exactly?
Well, the Coast Guard Auxiliary, we promote boating safety through education classes, educating the public, promoting the wearing of life vests. We also perform vessel safety checks, vessel inspections for some people, and just all in all, just try to educate the public on safe boating, whether it be on our nation's waterways, saltwater, wherever they may be.
Pete, you look too young to be a colonel, and you look too young to be retired. What'd you start when you were about 16 and get your parents to sign for you?
Well, actually, almost. I was born in the military. My father was a retired NCO, and I was actually born overseas on a military base. So I've been associated with the military all my life. And
that's great.
Right now, I did start at a relatively young age in the Army and retired. I guess I'm semi-retired now. I work part-time as a sheriff's deputy, too.
Oh, do you?
Well,
thank you for your service, sir. Where did you serve overseas?
I did. Before I was stationed here at Fort Knox, I was in Afghanistan. I actually turned 50 over in Afghanistan, so that was a heck of a birthday. So.
Well, he is a young-looking dude, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your service. Let's see. Now, you're wearing a life jacket today, and you're doing that on purpose because you want to stress who needs to wear a life jacket. That would be children, maybe?
Yes, sir.
What about anybody else?
All children that between under the age of 12 on a motor vessel, if it's in an open boat, not in a cabin,
right.
But if you're like a houseboat, if you're out inside a houseboat, you don't have to wear it.
Okay.
But all children under 12 have to wear a life jacket when a vessel is underway.
Okay. Who else?
Folks driving personal watercraft, jet skis, they have to be wearing one,
okay.
Not just have one with them. Now, folks on canoes, kayaks, paddle boards, those kind of things, they actually don't have to have it on. It certainly is recommended, but in fact, they just have to have one with them, one for every person that is on board.
On board.
Mm-hmm.
All right, spring boating is particularly dangerous. Tell us why.
Well, first of all, if you look at the waters that are out there and if you listen to the news, you hear situations where people are running along 30 miles an hour, daytime, nighttime, whatever, and they hit logs.
Right.
There's a lot of debris in the water this time. I was talking to Zach Campbell with the Fish and Wildlife on Saturday down at Lake Cumberland, and that's the one thing he asked me to mention is the fact, number one, the waters are cold. If you're going to be in the water for any length of time, you've got to watch out for hypothermia.
Yep.
But also, there's a lot of debris out there with all the flooding that's going on, all the logs and branches and whatnot coming off the banks this time of year. If you're running along at 30 miles an hour, you better have somebody in the bow that's watching out for debris and have some communication between the driver and the lookout that gives the driver a heads up that, hey, there's a big log. And some of them, I mean, full-size trees.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of times this time of year, everybody has spring fever. So everybody's anxious to get out on the water. They're anxious to get the boat out. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're starting school back in the fall, everybody's a little bit rusty. They forget all those little things, right. little checks that you normally do during the year. So that's why springtime is so important, just to take that extra 5 minutes, 10 minutes, think about what you're doing, maybe go over the safety checklist, get in charge with a Coast Guard auxiliarist or someone else to do a vessel safety check on your vessel, just to kind of get you back into the mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, like we used to say in the military, you know, you want to get into the battle rhythm. So you want to get into the boating safety rhythm before you go out on the water.
We got plenty of things to cover and not enough time to cover at all. I want to talk about drinking and boating. That's a huge problem, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That is one of the big, real big problems out there. If you are on any of our waterways in the state of Kentucky, you are not allowed to be drinking, and folks do. But if you add sun, if you add heat, if you're out there for a long period of time and you're not eating, consuming food to help dissipate that situation, you're definitely and the rules are the same as
impaired.
DUI. If you're impaired, yes, you're going to jail.
Is there a website where people get more of these rules, regulations, and that kind of thing?
It's CoastGuardAuxiliary.com, and there are all sorts of places there. Or you can go to USCoastGuard.com.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Real quickly, next Monday, 11 o'clock, tell us what's going on.
Go ahead, Nick.
Okay.
Nick's baby.
Nick's baby.
Yeah.
At Camp Nelson National Cemetery, we are honoring veterans that have gone before us for Memorial Day. Every year, we have a major ceremony out of Camp Nelson National Cemetery, and there are lots of people.
It's amazing how many people there are.
It is. From my years of spending many Memorial Days on many military bases, this is one of the best Memorial Day programs I've ever been to in my life.
I couldn't agree more. If you guys miss this, you're really missing something. Starts at 11, but come about 10.
Get there by 10 if you can, especially if you're coming southbound, because we're going to ask you to park. We're going to ask you to park at Heritage Park across the next door, and then we're going to bus you over, and we have golf carts and so on.
Yeah, it's not an unpleasant experience getting there and back to your car,
no.
But it is an amazing experience when you're there. Now, do we have any special flyovers?
We do.
Say what they are?
Yes, sir. Yeah. We're going to have a C-130 coming out of Louisville.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to be narrating it, which is the best part.
Are you really, Pete?
That's right.
Cool. That's very cool.
And Jack has a role this year, too.
Yeah, a little role. I'm just so honored to be involved in any way, shape, or form. Next Monday, 11 o'clock is when it starts out at Camp Nelson. And, guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jack.
Jack.